This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Bill Morgan joins us from Wham Computers in downtown Litchfield. We want to talk about Windows 10 and probably a number of things, but we're going to get to them all. Bill, I really appreciate you coming out today. Thanks for doing that. What I want to jump right in and find out is here comes Windows 10, and everybody, they talk about it on Facebook, they talk about it on all the tech sites. Should you download it now? What's eligible? I've got Windows 8. Isn't it good enough? What should we do?
Well, really, the upgrade
is good for Windows 7 or Windows 8. Microsoft is offering it for free for the first year that it's released. I would certainly recommend it for either of those systems, but I can tell you, if you have a system that has things on it that you really want to keep, I would hold off on upgrading for at least a couple of months. You could upgrade right away if you want, if it's okay if you had to wipe your computer and start over. I know that the vast majority of people who are doing the upgrade are not having any problems. I can also tell you that we've had a lot of calls.
Okay.
Of people who have done the update or tried to do it, and it has crashed their computer. Usually it's in a panic mode because there's things on there that they don't want to lose. But, you know, if nothing is too important on your computer, that if it did come down to reinstalling from scratch, I'd say go ahead and do it. But I can tell you that at the store, we haven't upgraded any of our systems yet. We're waiting until it's a little bit more stable, just to make sure that we don't lose any of our important data.
Now, what do you hear from, let's say, for example, okay, it just came out, and everybody's getting this little thing that pops up on their desktop that says Windows 10 upgrade available now, download here, and then you hear somebody say, well, you should wait, you've got a year to do it, and it's what we're talking about right now. At 3 months, at 6 months, how do you know when it's going to be safe to download it?
Well, I would certainly say probably in a couple of months it's safe to download it. It's really safe to download it now. Again, if your computer's running good, there's nothing on it that's giving you any problems, it's probably okay to do it. We've done a number of those upgrades. We do it a little bit different because if we're going to do an upgrade to Windows 10, the very first thing we do is a complete system tune-up. We make sure everything on the computer is running perfectly. We get rid of viruses, spyware, malware, things like that. Make sure all the other Windows updates are done first. And then if it's a customer's computer that they do have important data that needs to be on it, we actually do a clone of the hard drive before we do the upgrade, just to be totally safe on protecting the data. I do know that there are a few hardware configurations where the upgrade does not work. For the most part, if the upgrade doesn't work, it's going to just come up to a window after you've gone through the steps and tell you that the upgrade failed, and it reverts back to what you had before. You know, in the unfortunate cases where it does actually complete the update, but then there's a problem, most likely your computer is just going to crash on boot up. And at that point, it's probably impossible to go back, and you're going to end up having to wipe the computer and reinstall either Windows 10 or the previous version of Windows that you had.
Okay. Well, when we come back and talk more in a minute, we're going to talk about, does Wham Computers do that for people? We'll be back and talk about that in just a few minutes. And our guest in studio is Bill Morgan from Wham Computers, and we're talking about Windows 10. And Bill, what are the system requirements for Windows 10?
Well, the basic requirements are just technically it's a gigahertz processor, a gigabyte of RAM, 20 gigabyte of hard drive, and a relatively decent video card that can do 800 by 600 in DirectX 9. If you have a computer right now that's running Windows 7 or Windows 8, it's certainly going to meet those minimum requirements, and probably even most of the later XPs and Vista machines are going to meet those requirements with no problem. If you don't have Windows 7 or 8, though, you are not eligible for the free upgrade.
Oh, even Windows 7 is eligible for a free upgrade.
Windows 7 and Windows 8 are eligible for the free upgrade. There actually is one other way to verify that your hardware meets the requirements, because if your computer's running Windows 8.1 now, it meets the minimum requirements. And if you're running something earlier than that, you can go to Microsoft's website and download the Windows 8.1 Upgrade Assistant, and it will go through and verify that your hardware meets the requirements for Windows 8.1, which is the same requirements for the Windows 10.
What about somebody's got XP? Okay, and they've been happy with it for a long time, but they're going to go out and buy a new laptop, or they're going to go out and buy a new desktop. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be a lot of culture shock when they go from, I've been on Windows 7 for the last couple of years, and I remember how much I enjoyed XP, but I've forgotten, you know, it's like Windows 2000.
Right.
Will there be a lot of culture shock for somebody going from even Vista or Windows 7 to Windows 10?
Well, I can tell you from Windows XP, it's going to be a huge shock.
Huge shock.
You know,
yeah.
If you haven't done Vista 7, Windows 8, it's going to be a huge jump. Definitely a jump from Windows 7. Although a lot of the features are going to be the same, they've brought back features that were lost in Windows 8. That are available again, you know, like the start button and things like that. But yeah, if you're going from Windows XP, expect to learn it like it's a brand new system.
But now I hear people say, or I think I read something, and maybe I read wrong, and if I did, tell me, Windows 10 is going to give you some familiarity back. They put the start button back in the lower left-hand corner on Windows 10. Is that right?
Right. There is a start button in the lower left-hand corner. It's pretty customizable as far as what you're going to see there, but it is going to be considerably different if you're used to the Windows 7 start button. The keys that are the same is, of course, that it's located in the lower left-hand corner, and it does pop up a screen whenever you click on it. You still have, on the right-hand side, you're going to have the live tiles like you had in Windows 8.
Okay.
Those are completely customizable. You can resize them. You can move them around. You can remove tiles, add tiles, or eliminate them completely if you like. The folder-driven system that you've seen with even going back into XP, Vista 7, is considerably changed. It's more of what you see in 8.1 whenever you go to the live tile screen and then look at the all of the applications. It's going to be a lot more like that. There is still customization there, but I think if you just jump in and go to the Windows 10, in a very short amount of time, you're going to be very familiar with it, and it would be hard to go back to the old system.
Is it going to be in most programmers and people in your line of work that help people learn about these things, in the long run, is it going to be better and easier, or do you think there'll be Windows 12 and before long and it's going to be altogether different again? What's going to happen?
Well, I'd say this is kind of on the pattern that Microsoft has had going back even into the middle 90s, where they come out with an operating system that is completely new, different than what people are used to, and then they come out with basically an upgrade to that operating system in a short amount of time, like they did with Windows Millennium, and then they came out with XP, Windows Vista, and then they came out with Windows 7. Now the same pattern is with Windows 8, and now immediately to Windows 10. Windows 10 is basically just an upgrade of the Windows 8 operating system, but I can tell you that they've added a lot of new features that makes Windows 10, I'd say, a much better operating system.
What are a couple of those things?
Well, one of the neat new features is they have a feature that's similar to Siri on an iPhone, where you can ask Siri questions, and looks up the information or is more intuitive than just doing a search.
Okay.
They have that. It's set up with voice or through the search box. And as a matter of fact, it learns over time. So it kind of sees how you use the internet, what kind of things you search for, things that interest you, and then gears answers directly to you. So it makes the computer more friendly to you.
Okay, that sounds good. So we're getting closer and closer to a Star Trek spaceship computer.
Getting closer and closer to
it. It's going to talk to me eventually. It really is. I'm waiting for it to, whenever I don't like budge for a few minutes and it's like I'm stuck, it can sense that and will say, here, just do this. You know, I'm waiting on that part. But maybe it will someday.
It's coming. It's okay. Coming, John.
All right. Well, good. All right. More about Windows 10. And another thing, we're going to talk about not only some of the new features, we're going to talk about how easy it is to download and a few other things. And we're going to touch on a couple other internet issues coming up in just a few minutes. Our guest today is Bill Morgan. We're talking about Windows 10 upgrades. We're talking about a whole bunch of stuff. Bill, I know that Windows 10 is available and people do have to download it to get that free upgrade. How long is that going to take, or how much time?
Well, if you do it as a Windows update, it looks like the download size is about 3 gigabytes. Which is pretty huge.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's definitely the size of like a good quality movie or something like that. If you do it to where you want to, you know, do it an offline update, so you're updating 3 or 4 computers, you know, the download can be as big as 6 gig. So either of those are very huge downloads. Expect to do it
overnight.
Overnight, maybe even a couple of days, depending on how busy the site is where you're downloading from, too. I know Microsoft has lots of bandwidth, but I can tell you that there are millions of people downloading this update right now.
Oh, sure. Yeah, forget that.
We do have an alternative on that, too, John.
Okay.
So if your internet connection isn't fast enough to download it, or you just don't even want to take that time, if you stop in at WHAM, we can give it to you on a DVD. That you can install at home. We do charge $10 for the disk just to cover our costs on that. But, you know, it does give you the ability then to have it later if you need it.
Sure.
If you download it and install it, then then it's gone, you know, once you finish installing it. So,
The DVD would load much, much faster, obviously,
than
overnight.
DVD is going to, well, yeah. It's probably no difference in the speed, actually, of the installation itself, but, you know, you don't have to do the overnight or 2 or 3 day download. So
right.
That's where you're going to save a lot of time.
Oh, sure. One of the things we wanted to talk about also is, what are some of the viruses? You know, everybody always deals with viruses, and you talk about malware and spyware, but then there's viruses, which really can cause us troubles. Are there going to be some things in place? Is it going to be more difficult for viruses, or will there always be viruses? Where are we standing with Windows 10?
Well, really, viruses have evolved over the years. I don't immediately see a huge difference in Windows 10 versus Windows 8 or Windows 7 as far as virus protection. It is still a new operating system, so that actually might make it a little bit more vulnerable, because the flaws are found. You don't necessarily have the updates for those, and the people who write the viruses exploit those flaws and put their viruses out on the internet. Most of the viruses out there today are in fact money-making schemes. A big part of them are ones that people install themselves. They don't realize they're installing a virus. They'll have something pop up on the screen that says that it's running a security scan on your computer. What it's showing you is a movie. Everybody sees the same thing. And then it'll ask you, do you want to fix these problems? It'll have buttons. It doesn't matter what you click, it installs on your computer at that point.
Oh,
even if you click the X in the upper right-hand corner to eliminate it, it installs on your computer. Usually, if those things pop up, the best thing to do, shut the computer down. don't respond to it in any way.
Shut it down the normal shutdown way? Or
push the button.
Or push the button and turn it off?
Push the button and let it, not hold the button, just push the button and let it shut down.
Okay.
The other thing that comes up sometimes is it'll pop up a phone number to call. Don't ever call those phone numbers. If you call that number, it's whatever they say at the other end, whoever they are, it is not legitimate. They are just trying to get your money. They may, in fact, even do some repairs on your computer, but for the most part, they're going to overcharge you. They're going to install software so they can remotely get into your computer later to break it so they can call you and charge you again.
Oh.
So, and occasionally, they even call you on the phone. And those are just random calls. They'll say they're from Microsoft or, you know, even from an antivirus company or something like that, and they've detected problems on your computer. If somebody calls you on the phone and says things like that, just hang up the phone because it is not legitimate.
Treat it the same way as the Nigerian prince, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you'd think that everybody would have that figured out by now, but they still get a few, don't they?
We get probably at least a computer a week where people have been tricked into allowing one of these companies to remote into their system. And once that happens, really the only safe thing that we can do is to wipe the computer and reinstall Windows. We can save documents and things like that, but they have put back doors into that computer to where if you ever get that computer back on the internet, even if you've cleaned it up, they're going to be able to get into it.
Oh, wow. That's a shame. Bill, what's and there's constantly the FBI or whoever, Federal Trade Commission, are constantly arresting people. But there's always something new coming up, a new scheme all the time.
Yeah, they're arresting people in the U.S. and probably the U.K. and things like that. But the majority of these are from third world countries, and it has actually become a major source of income for those countries. So with the internet being global, it doesn't matter if you're, 10,000 miles away or next door. It's the equivalent. They can get into your computer and do these schemes basically to steal your money.
Russians, Chinese, and Somali pirates. They're all after it.
Certainly.
Okay. More with Bill Morgan coming up in just a few minutes. Our guest is Bill Morgan from Wham Computers. Bill, I want to ask, to me, Windows 10 sounds like a real win. In other words, it seems to me that it's an upgrade, an improvement, and a fix of that first version, which is what Windows 8 was. But what's going to happen, say, will 2 years from now, will it still be Windows 10? Will it be Windows 10.8? Will we consistently being doing downloads? Will the updates come by the thousands? What's going to happen?
Well, John, it's certainly going to continue to evolve into new things. I would suspect that Windows 10 is going to be around for some time. Windows XP was around for 6 years. It wouldn't surprise me to see Windows 10 around that for that long. Although, of course, it will evolve as time goes by. There'll be, Windows 10.1, 10.2, probably, things like that. There was a couple of other Windows 10 features that I really like.
Okay, what are they?
One of them is if you ran Windows 8, one of the irritating things to me for sure was if you were running one of the Windows applications specifically for the Windows 8, it opens full screen. Basically, it takes over the whole system.
True, it does.
You can move it off to one side of the screen, but really, it's taken over the whole computer. You can't do much else. With the new Windows 10, if you run those apps, now they run in a window on the desktop, just like Windows applications did in Windows 7, Windows XP going on back. That is, in my opinion, one of the biggest improvements. One other thing that's really nice is you can have multiple desktops. If anybody out there has run multiple monitors, you know how nice that is. This gives you kind of that ability with just a single monitor. So you can have one desktop where you're running an Excel spreadsheet and a Word document and things like that, and you can have another desktop where you're running Windows, not Internet Explorer anymore, that's gone away, but Edge browser, Microsoft's new browser, and you can switch back and forth very easily. So you can have your desktops arranged, you know, the way you want them, and jump back and forth. That's apparently been something that's been available in Linux and on Apple computers for some time. I've always used Windows, so that's a brand new feature to me, but I really like it.
You mentioned something that popped into my mind here, and I thought, oh yeah, I remember reading about that, and we should maybe talk about it. Tell me about Edge versus Internet Explorer.
I don't have a lot of experience with it yet.
It is the browser for 10.
It is the browser for 10. When Internet Explorer is going away, that is ending with Windows 8. Edge is a new slimmed down version of it. It's going to be more like Chrome or Firefox if people are used to running those. Internet Explorer over time has gotten less and less of the market share as people move to Chrome and Firefox, and I think it's their attempt to get that market back. So they're doing a scaled down version of the Internet Explorer. I assume that it's probably going to run a lot like Chrome or Firefox. You have a lot of those types of features.
Can you possibly say, though, that Chrome has become a victim of its own success, and as it has evolved, it's becoming more unwieldy and not as popular or not as easy to use?
Yeah, and that happens with pretty much any of them. People want different features and more features, and with any of those browsers, if enough people want that feature, then things like that are going to be added on for everyone. You do end up with a clunkier app than what it used to be and what you got used to.
So do you think Edge will become the new go-to as time goes?
I think Edge is going to at least get a kickstart here, because by default it's going to be installed on the computer, just like Internet Explorer was. So a lot of people are immediately going to start using Edge, and that gives them a little bit of an advantage over Chrome or Firefox, because people will have to intentionally install those to use them. Although that's been, their popularity has been big enough that even though people had to manually do that, maybe it will happen again, that people will be loading those, or they may be just satisfied with the Edge that comes with Windows 10.
Bill, there was a very interesting, and I'm going to move away from Windows 10 for a minute here. There was a very interesting article some time back talking about how things like Netflix was becoming so much a part of our culture that I think 40% of internet traffic is Netflix and prime time these days, after, you know, in the evenings. It's changing our habits. It's changing certainly our viewing habits as regard to television. It's changing our habits in terms of our overall recreation. What do you see in the future? What when you get together and talk with your tech friends, what do you see coming up in the next 10 years?
It's really hard to imagine, because if you look at 10 years ago, where we've come in this 10 years, I would think that definitely entertainment, the primary source is going to be the internet for any entertainment that you're doing. I can't see it going backwards from where it is. We're definitely going to have to figure out new technology in order to do that. On the current technology, it's getting harder and harder every day, just because of the amount of bandwidth required to deliver Netflix and things like that. The data compression has improved, you know, vastly over how it was, you know, even just a few years ago, to make it possible. But as that grows, more things are going to have to happen to get that data through the pipe to the end user.
from an information standpoint, in the last several years, we've seen newspapers close in Denver, in Seattle. We've seen newspaper companies go bankrupt. We've seen a proliferation of downsizing in major metropolitan daily newspapers every day. We've seen these newspapers increase their internet presence to try and hold on. What do you think? What's the future in terms of information going to be? Are we going to see? Would you guess that maybe 50% more newspapers will go by the wayside? Will television continue to shrink because of what we're seeing?
Well, I can see it more with newspapers, I would think, than television, because people are now used to instantaneous news. With a newspaper, that's a medium where information is gathered, printed, and then sent out as a static representation of the news out to the end user. People are just more and more used to instantaneous news. I can't specifically see how it's going to evolve, but I think that the static information audience is getting older. People who are maybe even as young as 40 and younger are getting really the vast majority of their news probably on their handheld device, their phone, their tablet, things like that.
Will the desktop be a dinosaur in another 10 years?
That's a possibility. I am still a big fan of a desktop
computer. Me too. Me too.
I like the power and the abilities that I can get out of a desktop computer. I can tell you that I have my smartphone, and I have a tablet computer. I don't own a notebook computer at all. That's kind of the in-between step. I don't really see a use for it. Whenever I want portability, I want my tablet, because that's something that I can take with me. I almost don't even notice I have it with me. If I'm carrying a laptop, that's a conscious decision to carry that, because it's going to be, 5-6 pounds and at minimum, and with very limited life of the battery. Whereas my tablet, I can run that all day.
We got about 2 minutes, and wrapping it up, anything that you'd like to add? Make sure that we were talking about Windows 10. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you would had that DVD available. Do you want to mention that again?
Yeah, and if you don't want to download it, if you'd rather just stop in, we can give you the Windows 10 burned to a DVD. We do charge $10 for the disc, just to cover our time. The other thing, the option that we would have is we do a tune-up service where we get rid of viruses, spyware, malware, make sure all the updates are done and things like that. That's $95. We do need the computer for a few days to do that. But we are, if your computer is a Windows 10 eligible computer, we are including Windows 10 upgrade at no additional charge. So that might be a good way if you really would like your computer cleaned up, running perfectly, and have Windows 10. That might be a better option than trying to do it on your own.
Great idea. Bill, thank you so much for being our guest today. I know that a lot of folks who were listening got a lot of questions answered, and I also know that maybe it makes them a little more comfortable and as far as moving over to Windows 10, just not tomorrow. We're going to wait a little while. Bill Morgan from WAM Computers, our guest. Bill, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.